Grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a downside to preaching every week in that it is kind of easy to start sounding like a broken record. Yes, the lectionary, by and large, helps preachers to avoid repetition. Jesus' birth and the prophecies thereof comes up in the lead up to Christmas, while his death comes around Easter. The summer runs through his ministry in the gospel readings, while the epistles read through specific books. However, every so often, there are themes that crop up in multiple readings a few weeks apart, and sometimes these themes are so significant or culturally relevant that you really have to address them as often as you can. Take, for example, the theme of today's epistle reading from Romans chapter 13, the relationship of the Christian to the secular government. I did preach on this same topic about 2 months ago, back on the day after Independence Day, in connection to Zechariah 9, verses 9 through 12, that Christ is our King. But with an election coming up, this is a pretty important topic for us to discuss. So we may talk about this again in another 2 months when we're closer to the election. Lucky us. But for today, we're going to start where Paul starts in our reading, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities," Romans 13, verse 1. "For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." First and foremost, Paul tells us that Christians are to obey those who are placed in authority over them. Verses 1 and 2, all authority derives ultimately from God. That's what we say in the fourth commandment when we say, "Honor your father and your mother." What does this mean? That we should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents or other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. That applies to all those in authority, including our government authorities. In John 19, verse 11, Jesus tells Pilate, the Roman secular governor, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above." And this actually has a double meaning. First and foremost, that Pilate's authority over Jesus comes from the emperor. It is given to him by his overseer, the emperor. But even more fundamentally, the emperor's authority comes from God. Pilate would have no authority except that which comes from God in ultimate. In Daniel chapter 2, Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, the secular emperor, that God changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Secular authority derives from God. Now, we do not subscribe to a view of the material being in opposition to God, or a spiritual warfare, so-called, in which the world is ruled by Satan and heaven is ruled by God. Yes, the world, we say, is part of that unholy trinity of the devil, the world, or sinful nature, which oppose God's will and try to lead us into sin. But it is still, nevertheless, the world is still ruled by God's will. And so all authority in heaven and on earth comes from God. And so in general, resisting earthly authority is equal to resisting divine authority. Now, lest we think we can apply this statement selectively, let's think about the secular authorities to whom Paul refers in Romans chapter 13, the Emperor Nero. The emperor at this time is Nero. Nero was certifiably insane. Nero used the Roman church as scapegoats for the great fire of Rome. Nero enjoyed torchlit chariot rides, lit by the bodies of burning Christians. Nero's favorite kind of Christian was one with a couple of holes in their body and nailed to a tree. Literally, the only reason Paul escaped crucifixion was by virtue of his Roman citizenship, that instead he was just beheaded by sword. If Paul can say to honor Nero, who was actually insane, we can honor Trump, or Biden, or the rest, who are only maybe insane. Now, of course, this can be taken way too far. The German church during World War II looked to Romans 13 as justification for their quietism towards Hitler and the Nazis. That is not right. But if Christians are to submit to the government authorities as to God himself, then anything the government does must be God's will, right? If resisting your government is resisting God himself, then there is no circumstance in which it is permissible to resist your government, is there? Those are some very hard questions, and there is a really simple answer to that question in Acts 5, verse 29, but for now, let's stay in Romans chapter 13 and move on to verse 4 to see what the secular governments or secular authorities are. It's verse 4 starts, "He," meaning the emperor, "is God's servant for your good." What is a ruler? The ruler is God's servant. A servant is not an authority unto himself. He is accountable to someone who is greater than himself. In terms of secular governance, absolutely no one can claim absolute authority. Elected officials are accountable to their constituents. If you disagree with one's actions, you can vote against them. In a constitutional republic, politicians are accountable to the Constitution. If they violate their constitutional authority, they can be held responsible for those actions. Even an emperor with absolute earthly authority still has a responsibility to God. He will be held accountable on Judgment Day. No one has absolute authority apart from God. And so as God's servants, secular rulers have a responsibility to God to act in ways that do not oppose God's clear intent. Acting against God's will is breaking their charge from the master who gave them this authority in the first place. And we know what God's intent is. God's intent is for good. God's intent is for life. God's intent is for people to live peaceably with one another, as Paul says in Romans 13, when he says that one must be in subjection, would you have no fear of the one who's in authority, verse 3, then do what is good and you will receive his approval. He is your servant, he is God's servant for your good. God's intent is for people to not be forced to live in fear. God's intent is absolutely crystal clear in the Ten Commandments, and this should be the guiding principle for all those serving in government and those voting for those who serve in government. This absolutely does inform the way that we interact with all secular government. If you're in government, govern according to God's will as we see it in the Ten Commandments. If you're choosing someone to vote for, ask yourself how well they measure up in comparison with God's clear will and purpose. But regardless, we do need to pray for those who serve us in our government, that God will make his will clear to them and that they will govern according to God's will. So then that begs the question, the same question that the church in Germany had to wrestle with: can or should a Christian disobey the secular government in any way? Peter gives the answer in Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than men. So can we resist? Yes. When the government is acting against God's will is supreme. When it's a choice between the servant and the master who is over them and us all, the Christian's choice is clear. When the, but this is only in cases where human actions contradict God's will. If the secular government forbade you to worship, that would be a contradiction of God's law. When the state permits the killing of babies in the womb, that is a clear violation of the fifth commandment. When the government stirs up hate between people, the church must stand for peace and love and forgiveness, regardless of what anyone else says. And so, what is that relationship like between the Christian and the secular government? Paul is very clear here in saying that the governing authorities hold a responsibility to God for the way they carry out the authority that he himself has given them. They are to preserve their people's safety by curbing evil and wickedness. They are to do so according to God's will. For the Christian, the response is obedience. Obedience as though to God, because authority comes from God. And yet the highest authority remains God himself. The same God who created the world to be perfect, who created man in his image to work and tend the earth as his servant, the same God who gave us his law for good, the same God who loved his people so much that he entered into our world and subjected himself to the authorities that he himself had appointed, who suffered unjust condemnation from those same authorities and suffered it willingly. The same God who ascended into heaven and received divine power to rule over all things in heaven and on earth. His is the kingdom and the power and the glory. No earthly ruler or politician can arrogate to themselves the honor that belongs to God alone. They are his servants, and he is the master of us all. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.